This is a safe place, a place where we can feel free sharing our feelings. Think of my office as a nest and a tree of trust and understanding. We can say anything.
Anything.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Deep down, I'm feeling a little confused. I mean, suddenly you get married and you're supposed to be this entirely different guy. I don't feel different.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
I had to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order. And I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be. Her panties.
And Brendan Sprague.
Odds are they're probably basic white cotton underpants. But I started to think maybe they're silk panties. Maybe it's a thong. Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
What? What, I thought we were in the trust tree with in the nest, are we not?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single day. Hope your weekends were great. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll have some fun with audio here in a moment. I'm going to get back into the Final Four a little bit. Some historical context for the teams that are there and why it might be. Is this the greatest Final Four we have ever seen? And do you remember the last time we had all number one seeds in the Final Four?
I do. There was history.
There was history made.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We'll get to no sunglasses in my future, but a lot of sunglasses in Deion Sanders' future here in just a brief moment.
I'm curious why it's not your future.
Well, I will explain. But first, let's get to the big college. I mean, how do we pass this up? Massive news out of the college football world today.
Mm-hmm. Breaking news.
Just huge. Massive news. Massive news. Stanford has hired Frank Reich as their interim head coach for the year.
Ah. Where did Frank Reich coach in the NFL?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Who's general manager of the Stanford Cardinal?
I believe that would be Andrew Luck,
Where
I believe.
Where did he play in the NFL?
Let me see here. let me think about it. Indianapolis Colts. I think it was the Indianapolis
You're
Colts.
You're my boy, yeah. Blue.
What would you have said 5 years ago if I would have told you Frank Reich's going to coach Stanford against Bill Belichick's North Carolina and it's going to be an ACC conference game?
Not a Colts-Patriots
five years
AFC
ago,
title game?
Frank Reich, Bill Belichick, ACC game Stanford and North Carolina. What would be the most confusing part of that 5 years ago? Would it be Belichick at North Carolina?
Belichick. No, come on.
More than Stanford being in the ACC?
Yeah.
5 years ago, more than
yes.
Stanford? Yeah,
yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I wanted, that's a good poll question.
How many years,
ago
are we from Oklahoma, Texas, announcing they were going to go to the SEC? Three?
3 years ago, I think.
Three?
I think so.
Okay. But, like, we had heard about expansion and changing of conferences in 2010. Remember when the Pac-12 was kicking around Texas and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and all them?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, but, like, we had heard about weird, wacky things like that.
Right.
I wouldn't have understood why Stanford's in the ACC. I wouldn't have wanted to believe that our beloved conference was completely dead.
Stanford was going to go join the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Bill Belichick is at North Carolina football because the NFL has said thanks, but no thanks. So he took his 24-year-old girlfriend to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, they're doing calisthenics on the beach. Yeah. It's a whole thing.
I think the Belichick, North Carolina, that being the end of his career, far more surprising, I think, even than Stanford being in the ACC.
So, Stan, we talked about that when you were out last week. Troy Taylor got turf finally at Stanford. What a turn of events there. Hey, the guy was a scumbag. Well, let's not defend him anymore. Let's get rid of him. So.
Well, look, I this isn't the biggest of news because Stanford, no matter what, was going to suck.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just curious, who wants this job? Because I went on a rant about they should care. This job is not the worst job. It's a tough job, but it's a good program. I don't know how this is going to impact their recruiting for a talent. Who's recruiting? Frank Reich ain't going to be there. So, like, what's he going to say in the room? Come
does he
play
wanna
for
be
the
there?
Next guy?
Does he have a way to, like, work his – does he want the head coaching job? Is it just a one-year thing?
The way they're teeing this up is it's that this is a holdover. We need a grown-up in the room for one calendar year.
I mean, spring ball's already started.
Yeah, no, it's way too late. You want to find your next coach. So maybe they're waiting for the young coordinator to throw a bag at. I don't know what the overall plan is, but it's got to be really brutal for recruiting for this reason.
I would imagine so. I think their top edge rusher just hit the transfer portal, too, because you have the ability to leave when you fire a head coach.
They also lost their highest ranked recruit, I believe, their highest commitment, because Frank Reich or Taylor got fired.
Taylor, yeah, he got fired. So, interesting stuff out of Stanford this morning, and I can't wait for the Stanford-Frank Reich-North Carolina-Bill Belichick game. They do play each other this year, so you will get that coaching matchup in an ACC conference game. Some other college news out of the weekend. Deion Sanders got paid! Five-year, $54 million contract extension, which is going to make him one of the highest-paid coaches in the sport. Not a lot of guys in the sport that make over $10 million a year. He will now be one of them. There's some great articles that came out about this in terms of their first deal paying its weight in gold with Deion in terms of what he's done for enrollment, what he's done for the economics of the university, what he's done for the economics of Boulder. And it's been a very unique 2 years where so much buzz, so much anticipation, so much hype, great start, falls off the face of a cliff, ha, 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 and then turns it around and goes to the Alamo Bowl and wins 9 games, and now he's one of the highest paid coaches in college football.
Is he 11-10 in his first 2 years, or 12-10 or something like that? I think his record is just hovering at...
I think it was 3-9, 9-3, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then a bowl game loss.
Yes. So his record overall doesn't really reflect it. I was saying this in year one. I'm going to say it again after year two. Yeah, this was the easiest layup decision for Colorado. Colorado hasn't mattered in college football.
He's 13-12 in 2 years.
13-12, thank you.
4-8, 9-4.
Okay. They haven't mattered in God knows how long. And he goes in there, and yeah, it starts out with a big bang, and then it ends in a big thud. But last year, I thought they were a really good team. A couple mistakes away from maybe being in the Big 12 title game.
I think a tiebreaker kept him out, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they also had that loss at Kansas, and Kansas, you know, played better at the end of the year, but that still wasn't a good loss. They win that game, and they're probably in the Big 12 title game. And so, like, this was the easiest decision. There were two decisions regarding Deion Sanders this weekend. both of them are easy layup, no-brainer decisions that you just say yes to.
Yeah.
One of them got done. The other one didn't.
Did not get done.
And so there's been some buzz about Colorado and the NIL and how much they're willing to spend. Ultimately, Deion Sanders is going to be one of the highest paid coaches in the sport. And whether you think he's deserving, quote unquote, of it or not, what he has meant to that university in just two seasons has been unreal. So, yeah, of course, that was an easy no-brainer. I don't know what the future is with Deion at Colorado.
Interesting.
I don't know how
year.
Long it's going to be.
Yeah.
They've got that Julian Lewis kid's going to be their new quarterback to replace Shador. We'll see how he builds up. He's still not recruiting high school all that well.
I don't know if he ends up starting, because remember, they got the quarterback transfer from Liberty transfer. So maybe, maybe. It sounds like it could be a legitimate battle between those two in spring ball.
Or it could be a Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, QB1 battle in camp. Yep. That was a no-brainer decision for Colorado to make. You want Deion as long as Deion wants you.
Yeah, you're going to keep him around as long as you can.
Because he's going to be the one that's going to end this divorce if it ends.
You're also Colorado. Like, you don't have that big... I mean, you just, to your point, you were irrelevant for 30 years. You did nothing. Yeah. And now he has brought you to the forefront of conversation and topic in the college football world. He won 9 games this year. Mm-hmm. He is making your university money hand over fist. And in a way that you really can't say about any other coach in the country. Deion Sanders has made Colorado cool and sexy, and so it's a no-brainer for them. The no-brainer for the NCAA was to allow Colorado and Syracuse to play their spring game against each other, which they applied for. And of course, in typical NCAA fashion, what do?
They did the thing that they shouldn't have done.
They said no.
And they're citing the reasons of, like, it's too short a notice. We don't know if there's a recruiting advantage here. The dumbest of reasons. Do this. Why at every turn do you have a moment to do the smart, easy thing?
And they don't do it.
They don't do it. And
they never get out ahead of anything.
Here we go. Like, we're going to have to wait another year for this to be okay. Because you know they're going to end up revising this and saying, okay, next year we'll allow this because it's quote unquote too short a notice. Syracuse had the money and the ability to make this travel happen.
They were ready to go.
And all they needed to do was say yes to this. And now I'm wondering why you're not buying the glasses, because he still spearheaded this whole campaign.
He did. There's got to be a spring game in order for me to buy the sunglasses. Okay, the effort. There's got to be the game actually played.
Okay.
When the game gets played, I'll buy the sunglasses. That's the deal.
Okay.
But no game
as
of now.
That's fair.
Now, I would actually buy two pairs of sunglasses if they gave double birds to the NCAA and said we're going to play it anyways. They're not going to do that, but I would love just
to they would.
See somebody be like, you know what? You have no power. You can't do. What are you going to do to us? What you can't do? No, we're just not going to listen to you. We're going to play the game. To your point about the future of this, and so they go on this long review and feedback from the legislative relief waiver, and they, you know, all the reasons why they wouldn't do it. Is there a competitive recruiting advantage that are gained? You know, applicant institutions waiver is approved. All this mumbo jumbo nonsense, and at the very end of it, they say the committee advised the NCAA staff that for reasons noted above, it opposed the waiver. The committee agreed to discuss during a future meeting a concept that could permit joint spring practices in future seasons, a.k.a. we're going to talk about it this summer and then let you do it next year. But for some dumb reason, all this momentum was building for it to happen, and we just want to be the roadblock in the way. Just like we were with NIL and paying players and all these dumb decisions over the last 25 years that has led to this chaos nature of college athletics because they drag their feet and think that the status quo is hunky-dory. They're doing it again. Now, this is not as big of a deal as NIL, but it would have been an awesome deal for the sport. It would have brought eyeballs in. It would have brought more attention to spring football that only sickos like I pay attention to. And they, of course, miss the boat because they're the NCAA, and they miss every boat that comes their way.
We knew this was going to ultimately be their decision when we talked about this on Friday. I think what's disappointing is Bielema is a part of this committee. And so I just wonder, like, where did Bielema weigh in on all this?
Yeah, come on, Bielema. Terrible. You and your stupid poncho. Vote yes. I want spring football games. Damn it. So there's your college football notes. A little bit out of the weekend. Frank Reich's been hired at Stanford. We'll see how that works out for you. Good luck down there. Dion got paid. And no spring game, at least on the books for right now.
Not yet.
Colorado and Syracuse. But not
yet. We'll get there.
And then I'm going to buy those sunglasses, baby. And Dion can buy a lot of them because he is now one of the highest paid coaches in all of college football. Let's get to I'm going to have some fun with audio, shall we? We'll dive back into the Final Four coming up at the bottom of the hour. I got the tush push in my notes as well today. We'll see if maybe we kick some NFL stuff for tomorrow. These two were too good to pass up. One out of Boston, one out of New York. We'll have some fun with audio baseball edition next on The Fan. All right, let's have some fun, shall we? Who doesn't love some good fun with audio? Saw these over the weekend. Did you know Major League Baseball's here?
I've watched every Braves game, and I bought the Major League package.
Yeah, the TV, MLB TV.
Sans like a day where I'm clearly on a vacay and I have no time at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to watch like 90% of the Braves games this
Let's
year.
Go,
I'm
baby.
All in. It's their first 0-4 start.
Yeah, raise your hand if your team's won a game this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if last time your team started 0-4, they won the World Series. Oh, you didn't?
Bitch. I mean, we won three, so one of the years we might have been 0-4. I don't know.
0-4 in 2021. Yeah. Lick it up. Won the World Series.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
Well, that was the best shot that I could take at
Giant
you.
Giant fan over here talking trash.
Hey, who's above 500 right now?
Wish we could play the Reds.
Wish I could be above 500. Well, you're probably saying over there.
You're the garbage year division.
Actually, no, the Colorado Rockies are, but, you know, they're pretty bad, too. How about this? So the Mariners' offense has been bad for a while.
You pissed me off.
I mean, win a game, you know?
Score a run!
Does the season start until you win a game? Has your season started yet?
We haven't scored a run in two games.
This is back-to-back shutouts.
Yikes!
But your offense is a little bit worse than the Seattle Mariners, but that's not saying much. The Mariners have had a terrible offense for a long time. We know this about them, right?
Yeah.
A bad offense.
Right.
They got off to a rough start. John Sakanik's already filling up his hate bucket. They can't hit. They can't score runs. It's like, hey, look at that. The Mariners against the A's. They're the same old Mariners. Well, they had shots fired at them from across the country.
I didn't see this.
There is a new broadcaster for the New York Yankees by the name of Dave Sims. Now, where did Dave Sims used to work?
The Mariners.
The Mariners for a long time.
Very well received by Yankee fan, too.
Has
replacing
he?
John Sterling. Yes.
So he's now in New York calling games.
I never understood the anti-Sims take
on
my co-host.
I thought he was good.
I'm not the biggest Sims guy.
He's fun. He's happy. He's energetic.
Yeah.
He's positive.
He's got good
What's
pipes.
Not to like?
I mean, he loves Joe Davis. So
he wouldn't
know.
Call us Allen and Braden.
That's true. So the what did the Yankees do this weekend? They scored 847 runs in their three games,
hit
10,000 home runs.
Yes.
They're cheating. They have these bazooka
bats. They got home bats. Yeah.
During one of the home runs, catch the back. Now, this is Susan Waldman, who is. I don't know who
Susie
she is.
Susie Waldman's been there for
has she been a long time?
Sideline.
Okay.
What do you call them? Dugout? Reporter?
No, she's in the booth.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's in the booth. I didn't know this. So she's now she's in the booth for the Yankees. She's working with Dave Simmons.
You remember the famous play-by-play or the commentary when Roger Clemens was in the suite and they were about to sign him?
Nope.
No.
I don't remember return games.
That was Susie Waldman.
Not memorable at all.
It wasn't a return game.
The Yankees,
they hadn't even signed him
would
yet.
Would you do shut up so I can get to my damn audio?
There you go.
Yankees hit a bunch of home runs. Sims is enjoying it because they're scoring runs. Check out the dig that Waldman gets in here.
Both have been on.
There's look at this by Jazz. Deep to right center field. That's out of here. Another hey now for the Yankees. They're killing Milwaukee. It's 13-3.
You're not going to know what to do with this. Your old team didn't score 13 runs
in
a
month. Don't rub it in. Be nice.
Welcome to the New York Yankees, Dave Sims.
They didn't score 13 runs in a month, Dave.
That is By the way, very weird to hear him calling a Yankee home run.
Very weird.
And such a perfect delivery of, you're not going to know what to do.
What are you doing over there, Dave? You're getting excited. You're getting happy. I quite enjoyed that one.
Your other audio's better, though.
So that was the first. That was just the lead into my Fun with Audio baseball segment.
By the way, multiple people on Friday reached out. All-time bad take. One of the worst takes, they said, in show history was your I don't care about return games stance. Yes, just a terrible take.
It's a weird take.
All-time bad.
It's not even caring. It's like not even remembering them. It's like one thing to be like, this isn't the biggest deal to me, but like I have no frame of reference for
Favre
any of these.
Favre came out at Lambeau in a Viking helmet.
He did.
That is wild.
An all-time Green Bay Packer. Played for another team in Lambeau Field. It was bananas that it actually transpired.
Their arch rival.
We kind of hinted at this a little bit earlier in the show, but one of the guys who was off to the worst start in Major League Baseball this year is Rafael Devers of the Boston Red Sox. What is he, 0-16?
0-16 with 12 strikeouts.
He's not a good
start. Striking out 75% of his plate.
What position is he playing?
DH.
Wants to be a third baseman.
He wants to be a third.
He thought he was the third baseman.
The last GM said you could be a third baseman, and then they signed Alex Bregman.
He told management he was their third baseman.
It's a very weird situation. They lost, what, 3 out of 4, I think, to the Rangers this weekend. Yeah. And this entered Jonathan Papelbon back into our conversation.
Remember Jonathan Papelbon? I do.
Who now, I learned over the weekend, is working for Nesson. He's there in Boston doing their pre-post-game Red Sox coverage. Who gave...
I still don't know what this means.
I don't really even know how to set this up, but he's talking about Rafael Devers and used this analogy.
Maybe he's out of shape. I don't know about both of them, but, you know, game shape, playing shape, but... You know, maybe we got to trim a little bit of fat, Jim. You know what happens when you trim fat?
Well, we know they're not hitting shape, right? So they're not hitting. Okay, go ahead. We're talking about trimming fat. What happened?
Pig squeal.
Oh.
Where's this going? No, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, you trim fat, pig squeal. I mean, that's what you're looking for your pigs to squeal.
They need some squealing.
Hit home runs.
They need some squealing.
But is it the shoulders? Is it, you know, is he in shape? I mean, we don't know these things. But to me, it looks like the swing is just a little bit behind.
Which is why they're beating him with fastballs.
Correct.
Simple as that.
The swing is a little bit behind because you swing too big.
He's got a little bit of the candidate, like, anybody got any secret?
He does.
Got a little trim of the fat.
You want to just tell me anything right now? Fat, just get it out in the open.
Is that, squeal. I'm not a farm guy enough to know. Is that like pigs seeing other pigs
being slaughtered? Do you look for your pig squeal? Do you look for your pigs to squeal? Do you want your pigs to squeal?
I don't know.
Your pigs aren't squealing?
I'm uncomfortable with that term.
Swag, you like your pig squealing?
I
assume that means you're making bacon.
I would assume that means you're killing the pig.
Yeah,
I would guess.
The other pigs know.
I don't quite have the frame. I've never killed a pig before, so I don't quite have the frame of reference.
I don't think I could kill a pig. I got to be honest with you. Pigs maybe a wild boar, but like not like a pink pig.
Yeah, wild boar like charging at you. Totally different.
Yeah, I'd hunt a wild boar.
A little piggy though.
A pig on a farm.
If you're just loading them up and
couldn't do it.
Little babe walking around.
Yeah, they got kind of human eyes. There's a weird thing with
smart animals.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I love bacon, so I'll eat the bacon.
Breakfast sausage is elite. I mean, I can't argue that.
I just don't want to be the one that does it. You know, I don't want
to. You guys do a lot of pork butt. I know that.
Who doesn't love a pork butt?
I don't really cook any pork.
Can I give you another zoo thought? I was at the zoo on Thursday.
Elephant butt?
Not elephant butt. I did have an elephant ear, though. Boy, Teddy loved the elephant ear. Gave him a couple of bites.
How long
of that
was
thing.
That line?
Not that long, actually.
Oh, okay.
It actually was pretty quick. If it was too long,
Thursday,
I wouldn't have done it.
Early afternoon?
During spring break. I was surprised, right?
Okay.
What's going on with the monkey butt?
You mean the big butts that are out?
They just got big outy butts.
They have hemorrhoids usually.
Is it a hemorrhoid problem? Yeah, is that what it is? Is it inflammation? Yeah.
There's a lot there.
Are they into butt stuff? Like, what's going on with the monkey butt, man? I hadn't been in the zoo in a while, and I forgot how out of their monkey butts are. You know?
Oh my God, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
No.
Right in the butt.
Am I the only one that has that thought at the zoo? Like, boy, that's a big butt.
It's all out there.
It's all out for us to see. You know?
I don't tend to go next to those cages and go, I wonder if they're into butt stuff.
You don't contemplate that?
No.
Monkeys are very, I mean, you know.
They're monkeys.
I don't kink shame on this show. If the monkeys are into it, they're into it, man. Doesn't matter to me.
Where's the banana?
I think we know. So let's get our pigs squealing the rest of the show. Let's trim a little bit of the fat around here and make those pigs squeal, shall
Speaking
we?
Speaking of butt stuff, how about Duke?
Huh? Should we talk Duke? About the Final Four again?
That's good butt stuff.
Is that good butt stuff right there?
People like Duke.
They're into it. It's
Duke
weird.
Is likable now.
It's a very weird thing. It's a very weird trend.
I said this about Shire. I read a piece on Shire, and I'm like, I kind of don't hate this Duke team, and it's odd. I think it's not having K. Look, K is all-time Hall of Fame stuff, but not having him as the face of the program.
Yeah. Shire does not have that air of arrogance that Coach K has.
He has that Redick vibe of just psycho just competitor. Wants, just
psycho
wants
competitor
to win.
Wants to do the work, loves practice. Let me get the practice.
I don't
want to
know what the
practice.
Texts are right now to your butts.
How dare you guys try and pivot off of monkey butts? I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed
of
in you.
Of all the observations at Zoos, that was your big takeaway?
That was my big takeaway, yeah.
Really?
What's going on with those butts, man?
I love the Zoo.
The City Boy's asking, do you trim fat off of a pig? Is that a thing?
I think you eat the fat, don't you?
Yeah, I think if you're trimming the fat, you're killing. I think you're slaughtering.
It's
got
to be a term for slaughtering the pig.
I'm disappointed nobody's given an answer on that. Somebody said Susan Waldman can choke on a torpedo bat for that comment. Doing good with that one.
Susan Waldman.
Why don't you take one of those torpedo bats,
shove it up a monkey butt.
Yeah, monkeys are into it.
You do look at them sometimes and go, I want to give you guys wet wipes. It looks
yes,
painful.
Like just clean it out a little bit. Like get a pressure washer in there. Hose it down.
No, I guess the direction.
No, can't do that.
We just got a half hour.
I once saw an orangutan at the Zoo.
Oh, geez.
Throw up and then literally grab the throw up and then eat it.
That's my guy.
Like, in a span of 2 seconds. And then a green blob came out of its mouth and it just scooped it up.
I bet it was
looked
good.
At us and just started eating it
those
again.
Some good leaves right there, man. I'm not wasting those leaves. Smacking away over here.
Kept thinking of Planet of the Apes the whole time. Like, they're going to do this to us.
These people are going to take
they're
over,
get
really?
Their payback at some point.
With a
man.
Butt like that, you're not taking anything over. It's not happening. You got butt. You can't even sit down. Too much pain.
Is there a part of the monkey that's the most attractive to the other monkeys the way that, like, the human species has?
I think it's the butt.
I don't know.
Arms?
That's why
feet?
That's why I asked the question.
Well.
Magic Johnson.
Let's talk about the Final Four. Who are you rooting for to win the national championship?
Natural transition right there.
An easy transition we've ever done. Because this is weird. We're kind of conflicted on who we're rooting for. Also, the historical context for this Final Four. Will it live up to the hype? We'll talk about that next. Well, for just the second time in the history of the NCAA tournament, we have four number one seeds in the Final Four.
I was surprised it was the second time ever.
Yeah, I was too. And if you would have asked me like on Friday, hey, Dirt, when was the last time all four number one seeds made the Final Four? I would not have been able to answer that question.
Well, they didn't start doing seeding until 1979.
That's still shocking. That's still something happened twice.
I mean, with the dominant teams, that only one other time prior to this weekend and finally learning who was going to go. If I would have asked you guys this on Friday, would you have remembered off the top of your head?
Of the last one,
the last time it happened, would you have been able to answer that off the top of your head?
No.
Because there's no chance I would
probably
have been able
not
to.
All of them, no.
Yeah. So the only other time it happened was in 2008. You had Memphis with Derrick Rose.
That's
and Calipari.
I remember that one.
UCLA had Love, Collison, Westbrook. That team was super fun to watch. Tyler Hansbrough and UNC. Who can forget them?
I might have actually gotten all four.
And you wouldn't have been able to tell
because,
me who the teams were?
Well, that was just such a memorable.
And then Mario Chalmers won the game in overtime with a huge shot.
Memphis should have won the title.
They should have won the title.
Which would have been vacated.
Yes. Which, right. Mario Chalmers won it with a game-winning shot in overtime. It's one of the best Final Fours ever. I mean, just that one. If you would have asked me, do you remember that Final Four? I would have said yes. I wouldn't have remembered the factoid that they were all number one seeds, and that's the only other time it happened.
Yeah. Well, but that UCLA reference. Team was loaded. It had the local guy.
Yep.
You also had one of the rare North Carolina teams that had a player I hated on it.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Psycho T. And then you had Memphis, which was such a good story. And Derrick Rose, I had watched in high school. My God, he was awesome in college. And then that Kansas team was just loaded with experience. You mentioned Mario Chalmers.
They won the national
shot.
Title, yep. And that was a Roy Williams national title, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Wasn't that was
he already gone at North Carolina then? Was that the first Bill Self title?
Bill Self.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Final answer.
Roy didn't win one at Kansas.
Touche. That's right. He didn't win one until they got to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I was testing you to make sure your college basketball knowledge was there.
Yep.
The reason why I'm excited for this weekend. Now, if you would have asked me again on Thursday or Friday, I would have told you the same thing about the Elite Eight. Hey, this is great. The cream has risen to the top. We're going to get awesome games this weekend. didn't really happen. Three of the four games were duds. You had Texas Tech, Florida go down to the wire. Outside of that, the other games were a little bit forgettable. When you look at the 10 best KenPom teams ever, so just the KenPom rating system to analyze the best teams, this is going back to 1996, 1997. So I'm sure you could find historical preference of a team that's better than this. Going back to 96, 97, of the 10 best teams according to the KenPom metric, all four of the Final Four teams this year are in the top 10.
Yeah.
You have this year's Duke team is number two. The only team that they trail is the 98-99 Duke team. Houston, this year's Houston team, is sixth. They trail 2000-2001 Duke. The 14-15 Kentucky team, which I believe was a team that went undefeated in the regular season, and the Gonzaga team that went undefeated in the regular season before losing to Baylor in the national title game. Then you have Florida at number eight, who trails last year's UConn team, who won a national championship, and Auburn is 10, who trails 2007-2008 Kansas. So you were, according to this metric, you are looking at four of the greatest teams in college basketball that we have seen in the last 30 years.
A lot of the conversation throughout this tournament has been, is this the end of the Cinderella? And I don't know what the future will hold for that. We don't even know if we'll get one seeds in a Final Four in the next 10 years after this season. What I kind of wonder is a little bit of a mix. I don't know if the Cinderella's gone. Maybe these bigger tier programs, which, by the way, you have three conferences represented in the Final Four.
Yep. And I'm glad the SEC plays each other.
Yeah.
Because I don't want an all-SEC team. That would have really sucked.
Well, but I kind of more wonder, did these big programs figure out the NIL situation to the point where maybe the Cinderella is dead? Because Walter Clayton Jr. goes to Florida now. He doesn't become the Iona Cinderella. He is just picked up before they can take a leap.
Yeah, very well could.
And there's, you know, the negative of that is not having the random team that Swag is longing for on his couch for a Sweet 16 Elite Eight. But the flip side is this. You have the top of the top. These are all-time historically great teams. Now, stylistically, they're just so different in so many different ways. You've got an injury in one game. You got a team that just barely made it into the Final Four, having to come back from double digits in the last few minutes. You've got one team that wants to yank you down in the mud and play really slow down offense, killer defense, and you've got maybe the best team of all of them, but they're led by the next potential phenom in the NBA. And I just find all of that very interesting. I don't know if these games will be good, but Florida beat Auburn at Auburn in February. And Duke Houston is just a styles make fights game. It can Houston adapt if Duke plays their game? Is Duke going to get dragged down by experience and what LJ Cryer has been for most of this tournament? I don't know. But I do know that it feels like Duke has all of kind of the backing of people.
Yeah.
Which Duke to me has always been polarizing. You've got random people. I'm a Duke fan. Like, what? What's wrong with you?
They're one of those teams.
Then you've got a lot of the other people that hate them.
Yeah, like the random Yankee fan. You're like, why are you a Yankee fan?
I don't know if it's just K being away, but I think it's a big part of it. I don't really hate this Duke team. I don't want to see them win it.
Cooper Flagg seems very likable as well. That's a part of it for me. It was similar with
what
Zion.
What player doesn't seem likable on this team is kind of my takeaway. Like, Proctor seems good.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Knipple guy.
Why?
I don't know. He's the typical little grindy Duke
guard.
He's
not, though. He's not, like, in your face, screaming at everybody.
He's not slapping the floor, but I just...
Grayson Allen.
No.
I'm not saying he's Grayson Allen.
He's
Let's
not
go
JJ
to the end
Redick.
Of the dirtiest of all players.
He's not Steve Wojciechowski.
Yeah, he's not any of those dudes. He's kind of just an all-around player.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Knipple guy.
Okay.
I think he just
different
with the ninth pick in the NBA draft.
Wow. I mean, we need another guard, so I think we should definitely take a little white guard out of Duke.
He's a combo wing.
Yeah.
He's 6'7".
That's exactly, yeah.
You don't want another guy that makes plays?
No, let's get another playmaker, baby. That'll work out for us.
I think Duke is where people are rooting.
41% of people on the poll question, I asked, who are you rooting for in the Final Four to win the title? 41% of people are saying Duke.
Well, somebody else was like, Duke's the only team I can name a player on.
I mean, I think that's a reality for a lot of people, and that one player is Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got.
So is this a Caitlin Clark-like bump, or are we rushing to a conclusion on that?
I don't know. People have tried to lean into the gambling stuff, and that being the big reason ratings are so up.
I was here last year.
It's been around for a couple of years, so maybe one or two more states have passed it from where we were a year ago, but it's not like it was non-existent and now it's existent.
I think we're up to 32 states or something like
32.
That.
32. I mean, what was it a year ago, though? Maybe two or three more states added.
20s. Yeah. So most of the states that were going to do it have done it.
Yes. I'd love to see the highest rated and see how many years Duke was in the final four of the years that were highly rated.
I'd imagine a lot of those years had Duke. Because
they
final
do carry
four.
A Yankee-like brand with yeah. them of either love.
You get them,
or
North Carolina, Kansas, yeah. UCLA.
I mean, but Houston's got a little history. Florida was the last yeah. back-to-back champ. Or, no, UConn. But UConn Florida, prior, tell to that. UConn
Florida prior to that.
Had the back-to-back. And, you know, we're kind of familiar with yeah. them being a good program.
I will root for whoever. I'm rooting for Houston to go because I like Samson. He seems like a genuinely good dude. He got railroaded in his, you know, previous jobs and yep. the era
seventh,
of college basketball.
Seventh
right
trip
now.
To the Final Four. They've never won a title.
Never won a title. They've been close a million times. And so they started their run, and he was... Were they in Seattle? Where did you know? And they weren't in Seattle. But he was answering questions about Gonzaga. Maybe it's because they play Gonzaga in the second round.
Yeah.
And he was asked. So a reporter had asked him a question about Gonzaga, and they pronounce it Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? And he was like, "What the hell's the matter with you? Pronounce it right." And he's a guy who obviously has deep roots in the Northwest.
Did we play
that,
the audio on the show?
I don't remember if we played that one or not.
I'm not here. I can't remember.
I can't remember. I just remember watching the audio.
About it, though.
It's like, dude, it's Gonzaga. It's pretty easy to figure out. Like, what are we doing here?
Read the press notes. It's right there on the first page.
So I've always liked him from afar, and Houston isn't the most enjoyable team to watch, but in terms of like a rooting interest, they easily are my rooting interest, but I will root for whoever wins the Duke-Houston game in the national championship over the SEC. I want nothing to do with Bruce Pearl and Auburn winning a title.
Really?
And Florida winning a title. I want nothing. After the
you
year,
want that side to not win.
I want after all the crap we had to go through with the SEC this year and them being the God's gift to college basketball.
And then also in football, it was like, we need another team in. It's
yeah,
like,
I'm just kind of done with that stuff. So whoever wins the Duke-Houston game, I will be.
Anti-SEC.
I'm anti-SEC. I'm pro-Houston, slightly pro-Duke, more so than I have been in years past, but definitely whoever wins that game over Auburn. Or Florida. So
I can't wait to see what Broome's health looks like when the game started. I think we're getting Florida Duke.
You think Florida Duke's your title?
And I think that is a tremendous game.
Yeah, I hope it lives up. This is my whole point about the segment and looking at the history ratings. Like, I hope this lives up to that. These are four of the best teams we've seen in terms of the metrics in a long time in the sport.
Is there a matchup you're not excited for, despite how good all four have been? Like, Houston-Auburn, I don't know if it gets me quite like Duke-Florida gets me.
The college basketball gods are praying that you get Duke in the championship game.
Well,
just
yeah,
praying
absolutely.
That Duke yeah. gets there.
But is there one that doesn't get you as excited on that Monday?
A week from today.
Yeah. I think if Houston's in, it's more... They'll muck it up more than any other team.
So here's an underrated part of this.
Yeah, they're not the sexiest brand in terms of playing style.
I'll give Ortner credit on this because we talked about this on Back to the Futures last night. Houston's been playing in the Alamo Dome. They're now going to San Antonio. Duke has not been playing in a
dome
bigger
kinda, yeah.
like environment. And yeah. I just wonder if that does that come back and bite them a little bit? Mixed with the experience of Houston.
That could help a little bit.
Plus, I know there's going to be Dukies there, but it's Houston, and they're in San Antonio.
It's in the state of Texas. Yeah. It's not that far away, but Duke does travel well. I hope it lives up to the hype. It's Saturday. The Final Four set all number one seeds for the second time in the history of the NCAA tournament. Let's wrap it up on a Monday, get you set for the rest of the night in sports, and we'll close it up next on The Fam. All right, we'll answer the poll questions in a moment, get you set for the night in sports. College basketball, remember, you can declare for the NBA draft, but not have to fully declare. You can come back. So
you can do that in football, too.
You can. Nate Biddle has announced that he is declaring for the NBA draft with the ability to come back to college.
I'm going to miss the mole if he leaves Eugene.
I will, too, man. That's a big blow for Oregon's team next year. I think the thought was maybe you get your two best players back in Shellstad and Biddle. But if Biddle goes, I mean, if he's going to get a draft grade, go. There's no reason to come back to college basketball.
I still haven't seen him on a draft board.
And that's the weird thing. I don't know where he's at, a mock. So
we'll fill it out. You get a 7-figure deal to come back, maybe $1 million next year. Yeah. Oregon, and hey, maybe the favorite to win the Big Ten or in the conversation.
Well could be. So, by the way, the Big Ten's title drought in basketball continued. They have not won one since Michigan State, I believe.
Overrated
right?
conference.
That was the last time the Big Ten won a title? Was there one after Michigan State and Mateen Cleaves?
No, I believe.
No? Is that the last one?
Michigan almost did against Louisville.
Michigan came close. Ohio State and Greg Oden came close.
Yeah.
They've had teams over the years that have gotten close.
No, I don't think they've done
no cigar?
No.
So it's been a long time. Let's take a look at the night in sports, shall we? For those who are interested in following the tankathon in the NBA and where the Blazers sit.
I watched this game. I had it on my TV, but I was watching more of the
Blazers-Knicks game yesterday.
Auburn game was not that good.
Yeah. A little close for comfort. Nice to see the fadeaway there at the end.
They were winning for a large stretch of that game.
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Be a little concerned if I was a Knicks fan. Like, we need Brunson back now.
Yep, probably going to need him for the playoffs.
But, like, I'll be curious. Toronto's won four in a row.
Toronto has.
You know, the Spurs, I think, are either, a game or game and a half?
The Spurs are currently, depending on how you want to define, they're a half game ahead of Portland or worse than Portland.
Worse than Portland.
So they have the eighth worst record in the NBA. They are 31-43. Portland has the ninth worst record in the NBA. They are 32-43.
I'm fascinated to see what happens their last, what are they at? They have seven games?
I believe seven games to go.
Seven games to go to see what, do they win a game? Do they win two games? Do they win zero games?
Let's, for the love of God, hope it's zero.
I mean, there's a chance, to be fair to them, there is a chance that they don't win. They maybe, let's say, pass the Spurs, and fingers crossed, toes crossed, they're in the top three. I was reading a really good article. I want to give a shout out to the Blazers Edge website. I hadn't been to that in a while, so I went to it and I was reading some stuff, and they got some interesting think pieces up, and one of them is about, do you run Scoop back if you have the number two pick?
Or do you
draft Dylan Harper and say, thanks, Scoot, see you later.
Thanks for your time. I think we keep Anthony Simons on the roster at that point, too. Probably bring him off the bench. I think that's how we should handle it.
I just, it's something to think about. Because Dylan Harper should be running the show if you draft Dylan Harper.
Seems like the real deal. That's the interesting part about where they end up drafting. So the teams are rooting against, or, you know, for them to win if they can. Chicago is in Oklahoma City. Not going to happen. Probably. Miami, though, is in Washington. They got a good chance to win that game. They're an 8.5-point favorite. You're a game and a half clear of Miami right now in the standings. So those are your two rooting interests for tonight, if you're curious. We also have the Women's Elite Eight continuing and deciding the Final Four. TCU, Texas at 4 on ESPN.
I think UConn's going to roll USC.
UConn is a 14.5-point favorite against USC at 6. So that's your doubleheader in college hoops.
Yep.
And there's your night in sports. We asked a question earlier. Who are you rooting for in the Final Four? Duke was your number one answer. Interesting. Would you rather have Chauncey Billups or Taylor Jenkins as your coach next year? Taylor Jenkins running away with it. And do you find this year's Duke team likable? 78% of you say yes, damn it. Acknowledging it.
That's accurate. Yes, damn it.
Damn it. There you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast. 1080thefan.com. At Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We went to Memphis. Good stuff from ESPN Radio in Memphis on the Grizzlies firing Jenkins. And hey, is Memphis going to join the Pac-12? So go check that at 1080 The Fan and at Dirt and Sprague. Thanks everybody for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. Yo.